Good morning. It's good to see everyone out this morning. I appreciate your presence. It's an encouragement to me, and I thank the elders for providing me with this opportunity to be able to stand before you and speak this morning. I hope you have your Bibles with you, and I encourage you to get that out and be turning to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. We'll begin reading there here in just a moment. Has anyone ever told you something that you know to be true, but yet you have a hard time accepting it? And I'm not necessarily talking about spiritual things at this point in our study, but perhaps someone has told you something about yourself, and you know it's true, but you have a hard time accepting it. You have a hard time admitting it. Perhaps you go to the doctor. The doctor tells you that it's time for you to go on a diet. You need to exercise a little bit more. You need to lose some weight. And maybe deep down inside, you know that's true. You know he's right. But maybe you have a hard time admitting it, have a hard time accepting it. Or we know that as we grow older, our bodies tend to break down. The Ecclesiastes writer talks about that. Maybe our eyes don't work as good as they used to. Our ears don't work as good as they used to. Maybe someone points that out to you and says, it's time for you to go to the doctor and get your hearing checked. Maybe deep down inside, you know they're right. You know it's true. But you have a hard time admitting that. You have a hard time accepting it. Perhaps someone tells you that your favorite sports team really isn't that good. Maybe someone tells you that there's a certain football team that wears orange that's not near as good as a certain football team that wears crimson. Maybe deep down inside, you know that's true. I'm speaking from personal experience on this. You know that's true, but you have a hard time admitting it. And I have a hard time admitting when Jared is right. So there are many things in our lives that deep down inside, if we're honest with ourselves, we know they are true. But we have a hard time admitting that, a hard time accepting that. I want to suggest that that happens with spiritual things as well. We can so easily and clearly read in the Bible where we are told to be baptized, but oftentimes that's hard for us to accept. We can read and know that it's true, but it's hard for us to admit at times that it is true. It's hard for us to accept because maybe we were always brought up from a young age thinking that baptism was not essential, that perhaps our grandmother, our grandfather, some prominent person in our family was never baptized. And so even though we can so clearly read in the Scriptures, we have a hard time accepting it, a hard time admitting that that is true. Or perhaps we read in the Scriptures such as 1 Corinthians chapter 5 where we are told to withdraw from those who walk disorderly, but we have a hard time accepting that. We can easily and so clearly read that in the Scriptures, but we have a hard time accepting the fact that that would mean that I can't have a relationship with my son or my daughter or my parent or my sibling. And those things are hard for us to accept. What I learned from this is that there are times that we have trouble reading the Scriptures and making application to ourselves. I've had you open here to 2 Samuel chapter 12. This may seem like an odd place to begin, but here in 2 Samuel chapter 12, we see where Nathan has come to David. David had just committed his sin with Bathsheba. And Nathan comes to David and he gives him somewhat of a parable. We won't read that, but in the first four verses, if I might summarize that, basically there was a rich man and there was a poor man. The rich man, whom had great number of flocks of sheep, he went and stole the poor man's sheep. And David's reaction to that in verse 5, it says that David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this thing shall surely die." David was very angry when he heard that this parable that Nathan had to tell him. The problem was that David did not see himself in that parable. And so I learned that oftentimes we read the Scriptures and we have trouble making application to ourselves. When David heard this parable from Nathan, he wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about the man in the parable, that surely this man shall die for what he has done. And we oftentimes have trouble making that application to ourselves. I want us to turn to a New Testament passage that illustrates this as well. Turn over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 should be fresh on our minds because Brother Nick brought us a lesson last week, last Sunday morning, I believe it was, about those in Capernaum, who came face to face with Jesus. And that's the context in which we find this verse here in John chapter 6 and verse 60. We'll go back here in a moment and talk about the context, but I want to focus on verse 60. It says, "Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?'" They said this was a hard saying. Who can understand it? Many have believed that to mean that they had trouble comprehending it. They had trouble understanding it. I want us to notice a few more translations of this. The English Standard Version translates it that this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? The New International Version says this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? The Amplified Bible says this is a difficult and harsh and offensive statement. Who can be expected to listen to it? Jesus' disciples here had a hard time accepting his teachings. And we'll show from the context here in a moment that it's not that they had a hard time understanding, not that they had a hard time comprehending what Jesus was trying to tell them, but they had a hard time admitting it. They had a hard time accepting, just like you may have a hard time going to your doctor and accepting the fact that you need to go on a diet. These people had a hard time with what Jesus had to tell them. They had a hard time accepting it and admitting it. The word hard here in verse 60 comes from the Greek word skleros, which means offensive, harsh, or disagreeable. Basically, they were offended by what Jesus had to say. We know from, if we back up in the context and look at verse 41, that the Jews had complained about Jesus. Going on into verse 61, the very next verse, the disciples, even themselves, his own followers, had complained about Jesus. And in verse 64, we see that some did not believe. So the trouble was not the fact that they had trouble understanding. The problem was that they had trouble making application. They had a hard time accepting what Jesus had to tell them. I like this quote from Albert Barnes. He said, "The word hard here means offensive or disagreeable, that which they could not bear. Some have understood it to mean difficult to understand, but this meaning does not suit the connection. The doctrine which he delivered was opposed to their prejudices. It seemed to be absurd, and they therefore rejected it." Oftentimes we read through the scriptures and we're offended by what we read because we find those sayings as being hard. But he goes on in that verse after saying that this is a hard saying. He says, who can hear it, or who can listen to it, or who can understand it? Meaning, who can patiently listen, who can patiently sit here and listen to these offensive teachings that Jesus has just given to us? And the fact is that many of them did not. And Nick pointed this out in his sermon last week, but if you jump down to verse 66, it says, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." Because what Jesus had said, they found it offensive. And because they found it offensive and disagreeable, they therefore turned away and were not willing to walk with Jesus anymore. And that's, sadly, at times, that is the nature of God's Word. It brings division. I take this from Dan King. He says, "This entire discourse is suggestive of the nature not only of the teaching of Jesus in general, but also of the character of God's Word as it is revealed to us in the Holy Scripture. It is purposely couched in language which sometimes pleases the ear and the heart, and at other times shocks and bewilders, dependent upon the condition and the soul of the reader. It does precisely what it was intended to do in each instance. Those who are hard of heart and stubborn of will are repelled and scandalized, while the sincere and are relentlessly drawn by the very same words." The very same words that Jesus speaks, it's going to repel some and it's going to draw some closer to him. That's the nature of God's Word. That's the nature of any law. So what do we learn from John chapter 6 and verse 60? I learned that at times the sayings of Jesus are hard. Not that they're hard for us to understand or comprehend. There may very well be some things that are hard to understand. That's not what he's talking about in this context. Not that they're hard to understand, but they're hard for us to accept at times, hard for us to admit. I learned that God's commands are not always easy. Sometimes we paint the Christian life as if it's nice and full of roses. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's difficult. And what may be difficult for one person may be easy for another, and vice versa. We don't all struggle with the same things. I also learned that when we are faced with hard sayings, that's what these disciples said here when Jesus taught them, They said, this is a hard saying. That when we are faced with those hard sayings, that may very well be the thing that causes us to turn and walk with him no more. That's exactly what many of these disciples did in verse 66. That many of them, when they were faced with a hard saying of Jesus, turned around and walked with him no more. So I want to bring to you a lesson this morning that I've entitled, The Hard Sayings of Jesus, based on John chapter 6 and verse 60. I want to look at six sayings of Jesus that we find in the New Testament. We're going to look at one here in John, and the rest of them we'll find in the book of Matthew, that can be considered hard sayings, that not necessarily are hard to understand, but are hard for us to accept and hard for us to obey at times. Let's look at the first one here that is found in this very context here in John chapter 6. The first hard saying of Jesus is found in verse 54 when he said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. This is the very saying that the disciples were referring to in verse 60. Again, this is, we just went through this chapter last week, so I'm not going to spend too much time, but just to remind us of things that were taking place, Jesus fed the 5,000 back in the first 21 verses of chapter 6. Jesus had just fed the 5,000. He performed this miracle with five loaves of bread and two fish. He was able to feed 5,000 people. If we look over in verses 26 and 27, those who came face to face with Jesus, as we have just studied, those who continued to follow him did so because of the physical food that he provided them, not because they thought he was a spiritual savior, but they followed him because he has basically just filled their bellies. He's just fed 5,000 people in the first 21 verses there. Look at verse 26. Jesus realizes why they are following him. He says, most assuredly I say to you that you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. They were following Jesus for the wrong reason. They were following Jesus because of the physical things that he could provide them, not because of the spiritual things, and he rebukes them for that. And that's the point of verses 53 and 54. Jesus' point here is that they need to consume him spiritually. Don't follow me because of the physical bread and the physical food that I provide for you. Follow me because of the spiritual bread and the spiritual food that I provide for you. And of course, they were offended by that. And perhaps more so offended by verse 32 when Jesus even claimed to be superior to Moses. Remember, he's speaking to Jews here. And when he claims to be superior to Moses, he says in verse 32 that most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you true bread from heaven. That I'm offering you something greater than what Moses was able to offer you. From a Jew standpoint, that would be considered blasphemy. How could this man even claim that he could offer something to us greater than what Moses offered to us? And of course, we know the end of the story of the verses we've already looked at, that many found this too difficult to accept. They could not turn their back on Moses and turn towards Christ. Many of them found that too difficult to accept, and as a result of that, in verse 66, many of them turned and walked with him no more. I want to suggest that this is a problem that is sadly prevalent in the modern church. You see the churches with the fellowship halls and the social gospel to bring people in, literally fill their bellies, fill their stomachs to bring them in. But once those carnal enticements are taken away, many, sadly, will do the same thing that the disciples did in verse 66. They'll turn and walk with him no more. This indeed is a hard saying that may very well cause us to turn and walk with him no more. I want us to notice another hard saying of Jesus. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 5. The remainder of the sayings of Jesus that we're going to look at are going to be found here in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, in verse 44, Jesus said, love your enemies. I think we can all admit that's a hard saying. It's a hard saying of Jesus. Not hard to understand. We can all understand that what the meaning of it, love your enemies. Do good to your enemies. Show kindness towards your enemies. But it's a hard saying in the sense that it's very hard to do at times. It's hard for us to accept. It's hard for us to admit that. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44 says, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Jesus' command about love here was the exact opposite of human reasoning. In fact, we see that if we back up a verse in verse 43, Jesus said that you have heard it said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's natural human reasoning. to love those who love you and hate those who hate you. And they were perverting some Old Testament passages in coming to that conclusion. We are inclined to hate those who hate us. We're inclined to love those who love us. It's not hard for us to love those who love us. In fact, Jesus points that out in verse 46. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? That how hard is it to love those who love you? Jesus wouldn't have to tell us to love those who love us because we naturally do that anyways. What's not natural and what's very difficult at times is to love your enemies. And that's the point that he makes in verse 44. I want us to notice, hold your finger here in Matthew 5. We'll come right back to this passage. But turn quickly to 2 Samuel chapter 19. And notice that David was criticized for loving his enemies. He was criticized by Joab, and that is because, again, it goes against all natural human reasoning that you're supposed to hate those who are your enemies. You're supposed to hate those who hate you. Notice, this is just after Absalom had died. Now, I realize Absalom was David's son, but he was also an enemy of David. Look at verse 5. It says, and Joab came into the house to the king and said, today you have disgraced all your servants. It says, David, you've disgraced your servants. How has he done that? Well, look over in verse 6. This is how you disgraced your servants. Verse 6, in that you love your enemies and hate your friends. And he basically goes on to say that you would have been happier if some of your friends had died and your enemy Absalom had lived. It was against natural human reasoning to love our enemies. And Jesus realizes that as he teaches this to his disciples here in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. To love our enemies is not just an inward disposition. It's not just an inward emotion that we have. It's an outward thing that we must do. Go back to Matthew 5 and verse 44, there where he said, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you. These are not just inward emotions that we have where we can just say, yes, I love my enemy. These are things that we must do. Bless them. That is, speak well of them. We can't always say the greatest things about our enemies, but we can avoid from saying bad things about our enemies. Speak well of them. If you're going to speak anything at all, speak well of your enemies. Do good to them. Pray for them. These are not just inward emotions. These are outward things that we have to do in our service to God when it comes to loving our enemies. I like what Kyle Pope had to say about this verse. He said, it is difficult to hold on to hatred for others when we go to God in prayer for our enemies. That's true of anyone. It's hard for us to hate somebody whom we are willing to pray for. And if we are constantly on a daily basis praying for them, if you struggle with hatred for somebody or a lack of love for somebody, if you pray for them, it's hard for you to hold that hatred and that lack of love in your heart. And we might pray for them for a number of reasons. We might pray for them that their behavior might change and that for whatever reason you don't love them as you should, that their behavior would change, where you could love them more. We may pray for them that they may turn and they may obey the gospel. Or perhaps we may pray for them by going to God and asking God to help us. Help us with our attitude. Maybe we realize that we don't love them as we should. And as we ask God to help us with our attitude, we are in essence helping them as well. Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Again, that's not always easy. This indeed is a hard saying of Jesus. It's a hard saying that we at times have a hard time admitting and have a hard time accepting. And this may very well be the hard saying that causes us to turn and walk with him no more. I want to look at a third hard saying here. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. Jesus said, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. That's a hard saying, isn't it? Not hard to understand. It's hard for us to accept. It's hard for us to do at times. He who loves father or mother is not worthy of me. Verse 37. Jesus is not saying here that we should not care for our families or that we don't have a responsibility towards our families. In fact, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8 of how a man was to care and provide for his household, and if he refused to do that, he is worse than an unbeliever. And we know passages such as 1 Peter chapter 3 in the first 7 verses, responsibilities that husbands and wives have towards one another. The first 6 verses there talk about duties of the wife towards the husband, and verse 7 talks about duties of the husband towards the wife. So when Jesus says that you must, that if you love your father and mother more than me, you're not worthy of me, he's not saying that we should not care and have care and concern for our families. What he is, however, teaching is that in order to follow him acceptably, our love for him must exceed all. It must exceed the love that we have for our mother and father. It must exceed the love that we have for our physical friendships. If we're going to truly serve God, our love for him must exceed all other loves and all other relationships. Oftentimes we struggle with this, don't we? We choose to love our families more when we fail to attend services as we should just to satisfy our spouse or to satisfy our parent. Maybe they want us to stay home on a Sunday with them, spend the day with them. When we choose to do that, we are loving our mother and father more than we are loving the Lord. We choose to love our families more when we have a relationship with those who walk disorderly. I talked earlier about 1 Corinthians chapter 5, withdrawing from those who walk disorderly. We are choosing to love our mother and father more when we choose to ignore that command. And therefore, we are not worthy of the Lord. We choose to love our families more when we refuse to accept baptism as a means of salvation, just to perhaps please somebody in our family, because our mother, our father, our grandmother, our grandfather was never baptized, and we were always brought up to believe that baptism was not essential. When we read things in the Scriptures and we refuse to do those things just so we can satisfy someone in our family or some close friend, indeed, this is a hard saying of Jesus: he who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. The nature of God's Word is that it does bring division. I talked about that a little bit earlier, but look here in Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. He says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." The nature of the Word is that it brings division. Not all people are going to follow the Word of God and His commands the way that they should. So naturally, there's going to be division. Some who try to do what is right, and some who are repelled by the gospel and by the Word of God. Also want to notice in this context that the fact that we must take up our cross suggests that this is not going to be easy. This was a hard saying of Jesus, and he realized that this was a hard saying. Look at verse 38 here in Matthew 10. After he has just said that you must love me more than you love your father and mother, verse 38, that he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. To take up a cross and bear a cross suggests that it's somewhat of a burden, that it is a burden to us. Jesus realized that this is a hard saying, that it's not easy. Sometimes you're going to have to sever relationships with your family or with your close friends. And indeed, this is a burden for us to bury and a burden for us to carry. This is a hard saying that may very well cause us to turn and walk with him no more. Let's look at a fourth saying of Jesus. Turn over to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19, Jesus had some things to say about marriage and divorce. Jesus says in Matthew 19 and verse 9 that whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. This is a hard saying. And this is evident by the fact, if you look down in verse 10, he just said that in verse 9, that whoever divorces his wife except it be for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. Look at verse 10. The reaction of the disciples, the reaction of his very own followers, they said, "Lord, if this is the case, if such is the case of the man with his wife, it is better not to marry." That, Lord, your teachings here are so strict and so hard for us to accept, that if that's the case, if what you said in verse 9 is true, then it's better for a man not to even marry at all. So they viewed this as a hard saying because of what they had previously known under the law of Moses. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. But Jesus himself even recognized that this was a hard saying. Look at verses 11 and 12. It says, "And he said to them, all cannot accept this saying." Remember what the disciples said in John chapter 6 and verse 60? This is a hard saying. Who can accept it? Jesus says here in verse 11 that not all can accept this saying. Not all can accept this teaching that I have just given you in verse 9. Even Jesus himself recognized that it was hard. And he even goes on there at the in verse 12 talking about how perhaps it would be even better to live a celibate life if you cannot keep this command. And at the end of verse 12, that he who is able to accept it, let him accept it. Jesus admits that it is a hard saying. And at times it is hard for us to accept and hard for us to admit. One reason why it was hard for these disciples is because under the law of Moses, they had been permitted to do things that now they were not allowed to do. Back up and look at verse 8. It says, "And he said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so." That they were permitted to do things under the law of Moses that now you're no longer going to be permitted to do. That's why it was a hard saying. And that's why the disciples said, "Lord, we used to have this freedom to divorce as we wanted to, and now you're telling us we can't." We have a hard time accepting that. This is a hard saying. I learned from that God's laws are easy to obey when we are given the freedom to do as we please. Under the law of Moses, they were given some leeway, and they had the freedoms to do as they pleased at times, or at least they were things that God winked at that time. And that when we are given leeways and given freedoms to do as we please, it's easy to obey God's commands. But I also learned that God's law becomes a lot harder and a lot more difficult when it goes against our own thoughts and our own desires. James chapter 1 and verse 14 says that a man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. That when that leeway is taken away and when God's law gets a little more strict, as it did here in Matthew chapter 19, that's when it becomes hard. And that's exactly what the disciples said, that if such is the case, it's better for us to not even marry at all. Oftentimes people read this passage and argue from an emotional standpoint that Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9 is just not fair. It doesn't seem fair. And again, that's arguing from an emotional standpoint, not arguing from the Scriptures. Indeed, this is a hard saying of Jesus. Jesus admitted that it was hard. His disciples complained that it was hard. But we need to be careful because this may very well be the hard saying that might cause us to turn and walk with him no more. Look at a fifth hard saying of Jesus. Turn back one chapter to Matthew chapter 18, or you may be at the same opening there. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 9. Jesus said, "If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out." That's a hard saying for a number of reasons. Because you might ask, is Jesus literally saying that we physically need to pluck our eyes out? If he is, that's extremely hard because of the physical pain and the torture that you would go through. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 9. Jesus is not suggesting here that we physically cut off our hand or pluck out our eye. He talks, if we back up and look at Matthew chapter 18 and verse 8, that if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. And down in verse 9, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to cast into hell fire. Jesus is not suggesting that we physically have to maim ourselves and physically have to cut off our hand or cut off our foot or pluck out our eye. What Jesus is suggesting is that if it came down to us actually having to do that it would be worth it. If it came down to us physically having to pluck our eyes out, physically having to cut our limbs off, and if that saved our soul, it would be worth it indeed. Notice this from E.G. Sewell. He said, "With proper efforts, the flesh, with its affections and lust, can be overcome without maiming the body. But should such an extreme case occur that the Christian cannot otherwise overcome the flesh, he had better lose any member of the body than his soul." So Jesus' point is not that you physically have to pluck your eyes out if they're causing you to sin. His point is that it would be worth it if you had to do that. And as Brother Sewell here suggests, that we can overcome those struggles. If you have trouble sinning with your eyes, you can overcome that without plucking your eye out. But if not, it would be worth doing that if you had to save your soul. I want us to notice he talks about our hands in that context there in verse 8, that our hands and our feet, our hands can cause us to touch those things which we should not. Our feet can cause us to go places we should not. Perhaps if you have a struggle with alcohol, your feet can take you to the liquor store. And perhaps you need to take extreme measures, not physically cutting your feet off, but extreme measures need to be taken to help you with that temptation. Our eyes can cause us to see things that we should not. What Jesus is suggesting here is that we must be willing to surrender that which is most precious to us. There's not anything much more precious to us than our eyes. I can't imagine going through life blind, or your hands, or even your feet. Those are the things that are most precious to you. And Jesus' point is that if these things are leading to sin, you must be willing to give up that which is most precious to you in order to follow after me. Indeed, that's a hard saying. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Be willing to give up that which is most precious to you. We may have to give up friendships. If we have certain acquaintances that are leading us in the wrong direction, that we feel are pulling us away from Christ, you may have to give up those friendships. And that's not going to be easy. That may be the equivalent of plucking out your eye. That may be something that is most precious to you. And yet you may have to give that up. We may have to give up family relationships. We may have to give up a good paying job. If perhaps it's a job that's causing us to do, or we're forced or encouraged to do some things that may be shady or dishonest, maybe you're getting paid well, but you may have to give that up. That may be the equivalent of plucking out your eye. Giving up that which is most precious to you in order to serve Him. There may be certain places that we may have to avoid. Talked about it, those who struggle with alcohol. You may not want to go down the street where the liquor store is at. I've have listed here Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 8. And that's in the context of talking about the harlot. Proverbs chapter 5, 6, and 7, warnings about the harlot. And there we're told in Proverbs 5 and verse 8, don't even go near her house. In other words, don't even go down the road, down the street that she lives on. We may have to give up those things which are most precious to us. We must be willing to make sacrifices if we're going to truly serve the Lord, and must be willing to give up those things that are precious. If you recall from Matthew chapter 19, the rich young ruler, as he came to Jesus and asked, what more do I need to do in order to be saved? Remember what Jesus told him in verse 21, Matthew 19 and verse 21, that if you want to be perfect, that is, if you want to be whole and you want to be complete, here's what you need to do. Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Remember his reaction? Look at verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This was a hard saying for the rich young ruler. He told him to sell all that you have, give to the poor. In other words, he was telling them, pluck your eye out. Be willing to give up that which is most precious to you. And to him, it was his riches. Jesus is making that point. Be willing to give up that which is most precious. But this man, it was too hard for him. And he went away sorrowful because he had great riches. Indeed, this is a hard saying. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. This is a hard saying that may very well cause us to turn and walk with him no more. Let's look at our sixth and final hard saying of Jesus. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Indeed, that is a hard saying. Many of the teachings of Jesus, it condemns most of the world. We see this here in this same context, back up to verse 13, where he says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. That is, that the teachings of Jesus condemns most of the world. And sadly, that is the case, that most of the world is going to be lost. And it is hard for us to accept. The reason this is a hard saying for us, that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. The reason it's hard is because it is hard for us to accept that many of our friends are lost. And oftentimes we gloss that over and don't view them as being lost. We view them as good people and ignore the fact that they are lost. I have here Acts chapter 10 and verse 2. That's speaking of Cornelius, where it talked about how he was a devout man and one who feared God. But we know he was not a Christian. Oftentimes we view those in the world, perhaps those who we work with on a day-to-day basis, that may very well be good people, may be devout people just as Cornelius was, may fear God just as Cornelius did. But they're not a New Testament Christian, and we have a hard time viewing them as being lost. Indeed, this is a hard saying, that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And because we have a hard time viewing them as lost, we oftentimes miss opportunities, or we fail to take advantage of opportunities to teach them and to invite them and to try to teach them the gospel and bring them to Christ. Or perhaps we think that they wouldn't listen anyways, that they have their own church they go to, and so I'm just not going to say anything to them. It's hard for us to accept the fact that many of those in the world are lost, and therefore we neglect opportunities to teach them. Jesus teaches here in this verse, Matthew 7 and verse 21, that it is not enough for us just to verbally acknowledge Him. It's not just enough for us to recognize the deity of Christ. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, that is, they're recognizing Him as deity. Many in the world recognize Jesus as deity. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is saying that's not enough. Just saying, Lord, Lord, and confessing my name and admitting that I am deity, that is not enough. You must go on at the end of that verse, but it's He who does the will of my Father in heaven. You must do His will. And His will involves hard things at times. Not hard for us to understand, not hard for us to comprehend. But if we truly want to be pleasing to Him, we must do His will. And that involves hard sayings, many of the hard sayings that we have seen. Indeed, this saying of Jesus, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, is a hard saying. And it may very well be the saying of Jesus that causes us to turn and walk with Him no more. So what have we seen in our study this morning? We've seen some hard sayings of Jesus. There are some things that Jesus tells us in the Scriptures, and this is just a sampling. There are many more hard sayings that we could pull out of the Scriptures and out of the New Testament. But there are some hard sayings of Jesus at times, hard for us to accept, and not always easy for us to obey. We've seen that Jesus told His disciples in John 6 and verse 54, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Jesus said in Matthew 5:44 to love your enemies. Jesus said, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, Matthew 10:37. He said, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, Matthew 19:9. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, Matthew 18:9. And not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Indeed, these are hard sayings. But we had better be obedient to these hard sayings of Jesus. Because there is a saying that is found here in Matthew chapter 7, this last passage that we just looked at. There is a saying that's even harder than all of those, and that is found in verse 23. For Jesus to say, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That is a hard saying. That's something that's hard for us to accept. That's something that in the day of judgment would be hard for us to patiently listen to it, as the disciples could not patiently listen to the teachings of Jesus in John chapter 6. To have Jesus, to have our Lord stand before us and say, I never knew you, depart from me. That's the hardest saying of all that would be hard, that would be the most difficult for us to accept for all eternity. There may be those here this morning, perhaps you have found the sayings of Jesus hard at times, and you have once been a faithful follower of His, but you've fallen back into the world, and you maybe have sin in your life that you need to make correction of. Perhaps maybe those who need to be baptized this very morning. And if we can help you or assist you in any way, we ask that you come as we stand and sing.